She was a once-in-a-generation singer, it says here, which is absolutely true. She was the queen of soul, but also ventured into and mastered virtually every style of music from jazz to classical and rhythm and blues. She passed away at her home in Detroit from pancreatic cancer, according to the late singer's publicist. The singer was in and out of ill health for years. Last summer in Detroit, she asked an audience to keep me in your prayers. She had to take several breaks during the show and appeared frail. Earlier in the year, she had announced that she would cut back on her schedule. In 2010, she underwent surgery to remove a tumor and canceled 6 months of tour dates. Yet last year, before a performance at the Chicago Theater, she told the Tribune, "I'm not quitting." And she said she was working on new music with Stevie Wonder. Her musical contributions were diverse, ranging in tone from spiritual to gaudy. Her singing style came from a single source. She practically grew up in the church, and the emotional intensity and personal connection she nurtured there and the music never left her. It informed her virtually every one of her top 77 100 songs, including 21 number one R&B hits. The thing many people don't understand about this change in my career is that I never left the church, Franklin once told author David Ritz about her transition to secular music in her late teens. The church stays with me wherever I go and wherever I sing. Critic Anthony Helbert, who has written extensively about Franklin's life and career over the decades, has called the singer a pivotal figure in the way women and African Americans were perceived in popular culture. Franklin's role was such that a history of Black America could well be divided into pre and post Aretha. She won 18 Grammy Awards and was the first female artist inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and that was in 1987. Not only was her multi-octave mezzo-soprano an instrument of stunning beauty, range, and power, but her piano playing, often in counterpoint to her singing, was just as accomplished. She influenced countless singers: Whitney Houston, Adele, Patti LaBelle, Natalie Cole, Chaka Khan, Mariah Carey, Luther Vandross, Jennifer Hudson, Fantasia. But her legend was forged not just on her ability to hit all the notes and embellish them with astonishing technical flourishes, but also to convey emotion and nuance and deep feeling. Her fame seemed destined. She grew up in the household of the famed preacher C.L. Franklin and was mentored by his friends, who also included gospel greats Mahalia Jackson, Clara Ward, and Albertina Walker. As a girl, Franklin mesmerized congregations of her father's house of worship in Detroit, New Bethel Baptist Church. But her career was not without hardship. Aretha Louise Franklin was born on March 25, 1942, in Memphis, Tennessee, second youngest of five children. Her family moved to Buffalo, New York, and then to Detroit, where her parents divorced. Her mother died when she was 10, and because of her father's travel, she was primarily reared by her grandmother. And as a teen, Franklin was a soloist in her father's church and began recording gospel songs. She dropped out of high school. She toured the gospel circuit, singing in churches around the country. It was a hard life during which she learned firsthand about racism while traveling the back roads of the South. The young singer also learned how to interact with an audience. Even at 14, she was imbuing the power in gospel song. There is a fountain filled with blood, with drama and dread beyond her years. And in her late teens, she toured alongside the Staple Singers and Sammy Bryant and was second billed to her father, the star preacher. Then, much like the gospel circuit contemporaries such as Sam Cooke, David Ruffin, and Dionne Warwick, Franklin shifted to popular music with her father's blessing and moved to New York at the age of 18, leaving her two young children in the care of her grandmother in Detroit. She was wooed by Motown, a small hometown label, but it turned out, turned it down because it wasn't properly established yet, and instead signed with Columbia Records. There, she was overseen by the legendary producer and talent scout John Hammond, a purist who saw her as an immense talent who shouldn't be wasted on pop trifles. Hammond made a number of fine recordings with Franklin that bridged the worlds of gospel and jazz, but Columbia grew impatient for hits, and the orchestral arrangements and choice of material didn't always underline her strength. Her contract expired. She moved to Atlantic Records and became under the supervision of Jerry Wexler, who admired her gospel recordings and wanted to update their feel to a pop market. Atlantic was an R&B juggernaut with a roster that included Wilson Pickett, Otis Redding, who was affiliated with Memphis-based Stax label, and Wexler immediately paired Franklin with the Muscle Shoals rhythm section in Alabama. A one-night recording session in January of 67 yielded the landmark song "I Never Loved a Man the Way I Love You," a smoldering performance that seemed to address Franklin's deteriorating relationship with her then-husband, Ted White. Recording in the South during the height of the civil rights era proved overwhelming for Franklin, however, and she left the next day. Wexler was knocked out by the performance, came up with a solution. He would bring Muscle Shoals' rhythm section to New York, where his prize singer could be more comfortable. Another classic soon followed, Respect, a cover of Redding's song that Franklin transformed in tandem with her sisters, Carolyn and Irma. The siblings' call and response chemistry dated to the days of the New Bethel, and they brought a fresh, sassy, finger-wagging energy to Redding's song, and it turned into a 1960s protest anthem. Wexler told Franklin biographer Mark Bago that it was an intuitive feminist outcry, a sexual statement, a minority person making a statement of pride without sloganeering. Franklin's landmark Atlantic albums and singles were essentially secular gospel records. The singer interacted with her piano and her backing singers, throwing lines and phrases back and forth in ecstatic conversations. Franklin also brought nuance and subtlety to her vocals beyond most soul shouters. 1968, at the funeral for family friend, the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., she sang the heartbreaking Precious Lord. She was in many ways the perfect choice to sing that song at that moment. Her voice suggested the depth of the community's despair. And so her career derailed in the disco era in the 70s, and then by the shooting of her father in attempted robbery in 1979, he spent 5 years in a coma before dying. A cameo in the Blues Brothers movie in 1980 got her back on track, and the 80s were dotted with feisty, if relatively insubstantial fast hits like A Freeway of Love and Who's Zoomin' Who. Back in the spotlight, she took her Queen of Soul back with bombastic extremes, and the diva years were in full bloom. That's some of the highlights of her life. She had an amazing story, Aretha Franklin, and the Queen of Souls, one of the greatest singers that ever lived, without question. I got to see her one time live. It was in the late 80s. It was the only time I got to see her, and she blew me away. She had one of the greatest voices of all time, and again, her story is incredible and significant. And she touched a lot of people's lives, and she was a one in a generation, once in a generation, you get this kind of talent. So Aretha Franklin has passed away, and she died at the age of 76 on Thursday. And we remember her, and we will remember her more when Fly Jams Friday starts in a little while, and in an all Aretha Franklin version for Fly Jams Friday. We're going to take a break for the news coming up here, and then we come back of obviously a lot of celebrities and a lot of people have been reacting to her death and the impact that she has made in the world of music and in the world in general. So we'll cover some of that. And if you want to text or talk, if you have any stories or how Aretha Franklin's music or her life impacted you in some way, talk or text at 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. We'll talk more about Aretha Franklin and get some reactions coming up after we take a break for the news, which is next. Welcome back, everybody. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Showcase Studios. My mic keeps falling down. Hang on a second. There. How's that? There we go. Hi. Anyway, welcome back. It's Nick DiGilio here on WGN. And here till 5 a.m., Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, and Steve Cochran at 6. Our regular Friday features are just going to be beginning in a few minutes. We will have You Big Dummy, where we're reading real news stories of real dumb people doing real dumb stuff, and then we vote on who's the biggest dummy. Straight out of context, that's when you listen to this radio station 24/7. Whenever anybody says something that you can pull out of context and it sounds dirty, jot all the info down, send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. Same goes true with Nick D Show Spies. That's when you listen 24/7. Whenever anybody mentions me or the show, you're a spy. Jot it all down and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. Fly Jams Friday coming up. It will be an all Aretha Franklin edition of Fly Jams Friday. And we were talking about Aretha Franklin and talking about her life before the break. And obviously, everybody has had a reaction to her passing. There were many people in the music industry and many people, celebrities in general, who tweeted out or made comments or made statements about her passing. So we've got a bunch of those right here of celebrities' reactions to her to Aretha Franklin's death. And if you want to jump in here with any of your thoughts about Aretha, or if you saw her in concert or loved her music and you want to text your thoughts or call us, it's 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Elton John says, I was fortunate enough to spend time with her and witness her last performance, a benefit for EJAF at St. John the Divine Cathedral. She was obviously unwell, and I wasn't sure if she could perform, but Aretha did and raised the roof. She sang and played magnificently, and we all wept. We were witnessing the greatest soul artist of all time. I adored her and worshipped her talent. God bless her. My condolences to all her family and friends. We shared the same birthday, and that meant so much to me. That's Elton John. Diana Ross said, I'm sitting in prayer for the wonderful golden spirit, Aretha Franklin. Paul McCartney says, let's all take a moment to give thanks for the beautiful life of Aretha Franklin, the queen of our souls, who inspired us for many, many years. She will be missed, but the memory of her greatness as a musician and a fine human being will live with us forever. Ringo Starr says, God bless Aretha Franklin, the queen of soul, and peace and love to her family. Barack Obama, Aretha helped define the American experience. Her voice could be, we could feel our history, all of it in every shade. Our power and our pain, our darkness and our light, our quest for redemption, and the hard-won respect. May the Queen of Soul rest in eternal peace. Donald Trump said, the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, is dead. She was a great woman and a wonderful gift from God, her voice. She will be missed. John Legend said, salute to the Queen, the greatest vocalist I've ever known. Tony Bennett, it was a double thrill for me to perform on stage, on the stage of the Metropolitan Opera on my 85th birthday, and have the Queen of Soul and Heart, Aretha Franklin, singing with me. She will be missed by the world. That must have been pretty cool to see. 85th birthday of Tony Bennett and Aretha Franklin up there. That must have been awesome. Lin-Manuel Miranda, lucky enough to have seen Aretha live exactly once, and this was it. Thank you for the music. We will be listening to you forever. The Reverend Al Sharpton said, deeply saddened by the passing of a beloved friend and queen warrior, Aretha Franklin. Her contributions are both legendary, both personally. Her contributions are legendary, both personally and societally. We hope to take a pause today to remember the life of a beautiful soul. Mariah Carey says, Aretha Franklin, the queen of soul, the icon, the ultimate singer, the greatest singer and musician of my lifetime. The power of your voice in music and in civil rights blew open the door for me and many others. You are my inspiration, my mentor, and my friend. Bette Midler says, the greatest voice in American popular music has been stilled. Our beloved Aretha Franklin has gone. For me, she was a musical lighthouse, guiding and inspiring with every single note. I loved her so much, and I love her still. Goodbye, Queen of Soul. Missy Elliott says, rest easy, Aretha Franklin. I imagine you in heaven performing and still making souls move. Hugh Jackman said, one of the highlights of my career was singing with Aretha Franklin at the Tony Awards. It was an out-of-body experience for me. One of the greatest singers of all time. You will be missed by all. Pharrell Williams says, been listening to Mary, Don't You Weep for the past couple of days. What an instant illustration of that spirit she was. Listen to this, look up to the stars, and know that she is with the master now. And then finally, John Stamos says, she was music, soul, grace, and respect. So she touched a lot of people's lives, and so many great stories about, you know, people working with her. And she did, you know, a bunch of really great duets as well. And we'll talk a little bit about those and probably hear a little bit of those as well. And if you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. 708 area code says, that article you read brought me to tears. Who wrote the great Greg Kot. Greg Kot wrote that Chicago Tribune. Dan, it's up online on the Tribune, right? You can go to chicagotribune.com and check it out. That's our buddy Greg Kot. He's a terrific writer and, you know, been covering the music scene for many, many years here. Canadian Bill says, Aretha's singing of Nessun Dorma at the 1998 Grammys was amazing. She filled in for Pavarotti at the last minute to sing his song. I remember that. And she was amazing. But Pavarotti, I think, was sick. You know, there's something to be said for the fact that, like, you can fill in for Pavarotti. You know what I mean? That clearly means, well, you are a hell of a singer, an incredibly gifted talent, if you can fill in for Pavarotti. 847 area code says, I loved her cameo in the Blues Brothers. Well, who doesn't? That's my favorite part. I think that's my favorite part of the entire movie. Is like, not with your dry white toast and your full fried chickens, and not with Matt Guitar Murphy. Dry white toast and four fried chickens. That's a great scene. Of course, the number that they do think is fantastic. And, you know, a lot of people, this is the thing about the Blues Brothers, and again, people know that I'm not crazy about the movie, but I'm so glad it exists because one, it makes a lot of people happy. It really does. People love that movie, especially people from Chicago. It makes the city look awesome. It's one of the best looking, you know, like when you watch that movie, you go, there is no other place in the world that this thing can take place than this city. And Landis did a great job using the city. And you could tell that, you know, the people involved in the movie, everybody from top to bottom loves Chicago. And that is true in every frame of that movie. But, you know, when the Blues Brothers came out, as we were just, you know, I was just reading in Greg Kot's piece, you know, from the Chicago Tribune, when the Blues Brothers came out in 1980, those artists were not popular. They were just, you know, their stars were on the decline. Their careers were not strong at all. When Landis and Belushi and Aykroyd picked those people to be in the movie, and it rejuvenated their careers. At that time, you know, a lot of the young people who went to see the Blues Brothers had no idea who Ray Charles was or who Aretha Franklin was or James Brown. And it rejuvenated their careers to the point where, you know, they were able to, they got a younger following, a younger base. And that's another thing that I like about the Blues Brothers is that, in fact, it turned on a lot of young people to artists like Ray Charles, James Brown, and Aretha Franklin. You know, and that's a very memorable, that's an incredible, you know, like all of the numbers that those artists do, all of the music numbers, you know, Cab Calloway, nobody knew who Cab Calloway was. If you were a young kid, you didn't know who Cab Calloway was. So that's one of the, that's, you know, one of the reasons why I'm glad that movie indeed exists. And Aretha Franklin's cameo in it and the musical number of Think, is to me the highlight of the movie. And I think she's really funny in the scene that she's in dealing with these two idiots, dealing with Jake and Elwood. And she's terrific in the movie, and it's a great number. So, she was a true legend. And I, you know, we all know that. And so what we're going to do is, after we do our regular features here, coming up, You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, we're going to do a special all Aretha Franklin version of Fly James Friday. So if you're going to get your requests in, we'll take them a little bit later on. And they're all Aretha Franklin Fly James Friday morning. And here's John on WGN to close out the Aretha talk. Hi, John.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
All right.
Okay. When I was like about 11 years old when Aretha came on the scene. And actually, I have some older WLS surveys, and I have one that lists a record that she did on Columbia. But the funny thing was, none of her Columbia releases really ever got very high on any of the charts.
Right, yeah, that's true.
And what happened was Jerry Wexler was interested in her, and he bought out the contract. He talked to Clive Davis, who was with Columbia Records, and Columbia, of course, was like the highest selling record label at the time, and he bought out her contract.
Right.
And of course, when she went to Atlantic, I mean, like, everybody started playing her music, and it was like, God, this is some, you know, for soul music, it was unbelievable.
Yeah. It was a total breakthrough. I mean, there's no question about it. She broke down so many boundaries and just a legendary career in so many ways. Yes.
Can I mention two other things? There were at least three live albums. There's one called, there's like a Spex Volt Review Live in Paris, and she's on that. And she's backed by like this real crack band of players that played on all the Spex Volt things, like Cropper played on it at that time.
Yeah.
And then there's a Aretha Live at the Fillmore album, which is a real killer album. And the band is led by King Curtis, who was a saxophone player. Sure. And Billy Preston is on organ on it, and Ray Charles comes on, and he plays Dr. Feelgood.
That's amazing. That sounds
great.
And
then there was a gospel album called Amazing Grace, and I heard that Atlantic didn't want to put it out because they didn't think gospel music was still in 1972, but they did put it out, and I guess it took some time, but it became a big seller.
Yeah.
And then one Christmas, I got a cassette tape recorder from Sears, and it came with four little mini cassettes, and one of them was all Aretha.
Mm.
It was interesting because it had the song. Land of Fools.
Yeah, that's, you know, like, just, those are great memories and you know, great recordings. And everybody has, I think, a memory attached to Aretha Franklin and her music. John, thanks for sharing it. We appreciate it. So there you go. Aretha Franklin, rest in peace.